jagat ni banao sat dharma sangsthapako lokanang hita karina tribhuvane manyo charanya karo radha krishna padaravinda bhajana nandina machalika vande rupa sanatana raghu yaga shri jiva gopalako vande rupa sanatana raghu yaga shri jiva gopalaka
I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, namely Srila Sanatan Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopala Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds and are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Nectar of Devotion, Part 1, Preface. This Nectar of Devotion is a summary study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which was written in Sanskrit by Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. He was the chief of the six Goswamis, who were the direct disciples of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Rupa Goswami first met Lord Chaitanya, Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada was then engaged as a minister in the Muhammadan government of Bengal. He and his brother Sanatan were at that time known as the Virakas and Sakara Malik respectively, and they held responsible posts as ministers of the Nawab Hussein Shah. At that time, 500 years ago, Hindu society was very rigid, and if a member of the Brahmana caste accepted the service of a Mohammedan ruler, he was at once rejected from Brahmana society. And that was the position of these two brothers, Dabirkas and Sakara Malik. They belonged to the highly situated Sarasvat Brahmana community, but they were ostracized due to their acceptance of ministerial posts in the government of Hussein Shah. But it is the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he accepted these two exalted personalities as his disciples and raised them to the position of Goswamis, which is the highest position of Brahminical culture. In a similar fashion, Lord Chaitanya accepted Haridas Thakur as his disciple, although Haridas happened to be born of a Mohammedan family. And Lord Chaitanya later on made Haridas the Acharya of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Chaitanya's principle is universal. Anyone who knows the science of Krishna and is engaged in the service of the Lord is to be accepted as being in a higher position than a person merely born in the family of a Brahmana. And that is the original principle accepted by all Vedic literatures, especially Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. The principle of Lord Chaitanya's movement in educating and elevating everyone to the exalted post of a Goswami is taught in Nectar of Devotion. Lord Chaitanya met these two brothers, the Birakas and Sakara Malak, in a village known as Ramakeli, which is in the district of Malda. And after meeting the brothers, they decided to retire from government service and join Lord Chaitanya. Birakas, who was later to become Rupa Goswami, retired from his post and collected all the money he had accumulated during his service. It is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita that his accumulated savings in gold coins equaled millions of dollars and thus filled a large boat. Rupa Goswami divided his money in a very exemplary manner, which should be followed by devotees in particular and by humanity in general. 50% of his accumulated wealth was distributed to Krishna conscious persons, namely Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. 25% was distributed to his relatives, and 25% was kept against emergency expenditures and personal difficulties. Later on, when Sakara Malik also proposed to retire, the Nawab was very much agitated and put Sakara Malik into jail. But Sakara Malik, who was later to become Srila Sanatan Goswami, took advantage of his brother's personal money, which had been deposited with a village banker, and escaped from the prison of Hussein Shah. In this way, both brothers joined Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rupa Goswami first met Lord Chaitanya at Prayag or Allahabad, India, and on the Dashashvamedha bathing ghat of that holy city, Sri Krishna Chaitanya instructed Rupa Goswami continually for 10 days. Sri Krishna Chaitanya particularly instructed Rupa Goswami on the science of Krishna consciousness. And these teachings of Lord Chaitanya to Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada are narrated in our book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, as well as in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Later, Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada elaborated the teachings of the Lord with profound knowledge of revealed scriptures and authoritative references from various Vedic literatures. Srila Srinivas Acharya describes in his prayers to the six Goswamis that they were all highly learned scholars, not only in Sanskrit, but also in foreign languages such as Persian and Arabic. They very scrutinizingly studied all the Vedic scriptures in order to establish the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the authorized principles of Vedic knowledge. The present Krishna consciousness movement is also based on the authority of Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, and we are therefore generally known as Rupanugas, or followers in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. It is only for our guidance that Srila Rupa Goswami prepared his book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is now presented in this form as Nectar of Devotion. Thus, persons engaged in the Krishna consciousness movement may take advantage of this great literature and be very solidly situated in Krishna consciousness. The Sanskrit word bhakti means devotional service. Every service has some attractive feature which drives the servitor progressively on and on. Every one of us within this world is perpetually engaged in some sort of service, and the impetus for such service is the pleasure we derive from it. Driven by affection for his wife and children, a family man works day and night. A philanthropist works in the same way for love of the greater family, and a nationalist for the cause of his country and countrymen. That force which drives the philanthropist, the householder, and the nationalist is called rasa, or a kind of mellow or relationship whose taste is very sweet. Bhakti ras is a mellow different from the ordinary rasa enjoyed by mundane workers. Mundane workers labor very hard day and night in order to relish a certain kind of rasa, which is understood as sense gratification. The relish or taste of the mundane rasa does not long endure, and therefore mundane workers are always apt to change their position of enjoyment. A businessman is not satisfied by working the whole week. Therefore, wanting a change for the weekend, he goes to a place where he tries to forget his business activities. Then, after the weekend is spent in forgetfulness, he again changes his position and resumes his actual business activities. Material engagement means accepting a particular status for some time and then changing it. This position of changing back and forth is technically known as bhoga tyaga, which means a position of alternating sense enjoyment and renunciation. A living entity cannot steadily remain either in sense enjoyment or in renunciation. Change is going on perpetually, and we cannot be happy in either state because of our eternal constitutional position. Sense gratification does not endure for very long, and it is therefore called chapala sukha, or flickering happiness. For example, an ordinary family man who works very hard day and night and who is successful in giving comforts to the members of his family thereby relishes a kind of mellow, but his whole advancement of material happiness immediately terminates along with his body as soon as his life is over. Death is therefore taken as the representative of God for the atheistic class of men, whereas the devotee realizes the presence of God by devotional service, and the atheist realizes the presence of God in the shape of death. At death, everything is finished, and one has to begin a new chapter of life in a new situation, perhaps higher or lower than the previous one. In any field of activity, whether it be political, social, national, or international, the result of our actions will be finished with the end of life. That is for sure. However, Bhakti Ras, or the mellow, relished in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, does not finish with the end of life. It continues perpetually and is therefore called Amrita, that which does not die, but exists eternally. This is confirmed in all Vedic literature. And Bhagavad Gita says, Neha bikrama nashosti pratyavayo na vidyate svapam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato vayat. Krishna says that a little advancement in bhakti ras can save the devotee from the greatest danger. And what is that? Missing the opportunity for human life. The rasas derived from our feelings in social life, family life, or in greater family life known as altruism, philanthropy, nationalism, socialism, communism, etc., do not guarantee that one's next life will be as a human being. For we prepare our next life by our actual activities in the present life. A living entity is offered a particular type of body as a result of one's action in the present body. And these activities are taken into account by a superior authority which is known as Daiva, the authority of God. This Daiva is explained in Bhagavad Gita as the prime cause of everything. Adishtanam tata karta karanam cha pritag vidham vividhascha pritak cheshta daivam chaivatra panchamam. The place of action, or the body, the performer, the various senses, and the many different kinds of endeavor, and ultimately the supersoul. These are the five factors of action. In Srimad Bhagavatam it is stated, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Karmana Daiva Netrena Jantur Deho Papataye Shriya Pravishta Udaram Pungso Reta Kanashraya. Lord Kapila said, under the supervision of the Supreme Lord, and according to the result of one's work, the living entity, the soul, is made to enter into the womb of a woman through the particle of male semen in order to assume a particular type of body. Thus, a man takes his next body by Daiva Netrena, which means by the supervision of the authority of the Supreme. In an ordinary sense, Daiva is explained as destiny. Daiva supervision gives us a body selected from 8,400,000 forms. But the choice does not depend on our selection, but is awarded to us according to our destiny. If our body at present is engaged in the activities of Krishna consciousness, then it is guaranteed that we will have at least a human body in our next life. A human being engaged in Krishna consciousness, even if unable to complete the course of bhakti yoga, takes birth in the higher divisions of human society so that he or she can automatically further his or her advancement in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, All bona fide activities in Krishna consciousness are known as Amrita, permanent. This is the subject matter of the nectar of devotion. This eternal engagement in Bhakti Ras can be understood by a serious student upon studying this Nectar of Devotion book. Adoption of Bhakti Ras or Krishna consciousness will immediately bring one to an auspicious life free from anxieties and will bless one with transcendental existence, thus minimizing the value of liberation. Indeed, Bhakti Ras itself is sufficient to produce a feeling of liberation because it attracts the attention of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Generally, neophyte devotees are anxious to see Krishna or God, but God cannot be seen or known by our present materially blunt senses. The process of devotional service, as recommended in this Nectar of Devotion, will gradually elevate one from the material condition of life to the spiritual status, wherein the devotee becomes purified of all designations. The senses can then become uncontaminated, being constantly in touch with Bhakti Rasa. And when the purified senses are employed in the service of the Lord, one becomes thus situated in Bhakti Rasa life. And thus, any action performed for the satisfaction of Krishna in this transcendental Bhakti Rasa stage of life can be relished perpetually. And when one is thus engaged in devotional service, all varieties of rasas or mellows turn into eternity. In the beginning, one is trained according to the principles of regulation under the guidance of the acharya or spiritual master. And gradually, when one is elevated, devotional service becomes automatic and spontaneous eagerness to serve Krishna. There are 12 kinds of rasas, as will be explained in this book. And by renovating our relationship with Krishna in one of the 5 primary rasas, we can live eternally in full knowledge and bliss. The basic principle of the living condition is that we have a general propensity to love someone. No one can live without loving someone else. This propensity is present in every living being. Even an animal like a tiger has this loving propensity, at least in a dormant stage. And it is certainly present in human beings. However, the missing point is where to repose our love so that everyone can become happy. At the present moment, human society teaches one to love one's country or family or one's personal self. But there is no information where to repose the loving propensity so that everyone can become happy. That missing point is Krishna. And the Nectar of Devotion teaches us how to stimulate our original love for Krishna and how to be situated in that position where we can enjoy blissful life. In the primary stage, a child loves one's parents and then one's brothers and sisters. And as one daily grows up, one begins to love the family, society, community, country, nation, or even the whole of human society. But The loving propensity is not satisfied even by loving all human society. That loving propensity remains imperfectly fulfilled until we know who is the Supreme Beloved. Our love can be fully satisfied only when it is reposed in Krishna. This theme is the sum and substance of the nectar of devotion, which teaches us how to love Krishna in five different transcendental mellows. Our loving propensity expands just as a vibration of light or air expands, but we do not know where it ends. The nectar of devotion teaches us the science of loving every one of the living entities perfectly by the easy method of loving Krishna. We have failed to create peace and harmony in human society, even by such great attempts as the United Nations. Why? Because we do not know the right method. The method is very simple, but one has to understand it with a cool head. The nectar of devotion teaches all men how to perform the simple and natural method of loving Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we can learn how to love Krishna, then it is very easy to immediately and simultaneously love every other living being. It is like pouring water on the root of a tree or supplying food to one's stomach. The method of pouring water on the root of a tree or supplying foodstuffs to the stomach is universally scientific and practical, as every one of us has experienced. Everyone knows well that when we eat something, or in other words, when we put foodstuffs into the stomach, the energy created by such action is immediately distributed throughout the whole body. Similarly, when we pour water on the root, the energy thus created is immediately distributed throughout the entirety of even the largest tree. It is not possible to water the tree part by part, nor is it possible to feed the different parts of the body separately. Nectar of devotion will teach us how to turn the one switch that will immediately brighten everything everywhere. And one who does not know this simple method is missing the point of human life. As far as material necessities are concerned, human civilization at the present moment is very much advanced in living comfortably. But still, we are not happy. And this is because we are missing the point. Material comforts of life alone are not sufficient to make us happy. The vivid example is America, the richest nation of the world, having all facilities for material comfort, is producing a class of men completely confused and frustrated in life. I am appealing herewith to such confused men to learn the art of devotional service as directed in this nectar of devotion. And I am sure that the fire of material existence burning within their hearts will be immediately extinguished. The root cause of our dissatisfaction is that our dormant loving propensity has not been fulfilled despite our great advancement in the materialistic way of life. The nectar of devotion will give us practical hints how we can live in this material world perfectly engaged in devotional service and thus fulfill all of our desires in this life and the next. This nectar of devotion is not presented to condemn any way of materialistic life, but the attempt is to give information to religionists, philosophers, and people in general how to love Krishna. One may live without material discomfiture, but at the same time, one should learn the art of loving Krishna. At the present moment, we are inventing so many ways to utilize our propensity to love. But factually, we are missing the real point, Krishna. We are watering all parts of the tree, but missing the tree's root. We are trying to keep our body fit by all means, but we are neglecting to supply foodstuffs to the stomach. Missing Krishna means missing oneself also. Real self-realization and realization of Krishna go together simultaneously. For example, seeing oneself in the morning means seeing the sunrise also. For without seeing the sunshine, no one can see him or herself. And similarly, unless one has realized Krishna, there is no question of self-realization. The nectar of devotion is specifically presented for persons who are now engaged in the Krishna consciousness movement. I beg to offer my sincere thanks to all my friends and disciples who are helping me to push forward this Krishna consciousness movement in the Western countries. And I beg to acknowledge with thanks the contribution made by my beloved disciple, Sriman Jayananda Das Brahmachari. My thanks are due as well to the directors of ISKCON Press, who have taken so much care in publishing this great literature. Hare Krishna. Signed, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, 13th April, 1970, ISKCON Headquarters, 3764 Watsika Avenue, Los Angeles, California. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Gopi Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Glories to A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.